When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that supports pizza in the morning and pizza in the evening. But pizza in the supper time is already in the evening. We don't need an additional reminder to eat pizza in the evening. We already did it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. But when it's on a bagel, you can have pizza anytime.
But you don't need to overlap them. We already had pizza in the evening. We don't need supper. Is a more specific time within the... We already know about the evening. We have plans to have pizza in the evening. We did it. We already did it. We don't need an additional pizza plan for the supper time.
I agree. You're right. This is the podcast that believes that. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
We're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today...
Today, we're normal, regular humans that don't yell it about pizza.
I have so much joy about that entry, that entrance, because I just loved it. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I love the real-time feedback. Mike, you're doing decent so far.
Great,
I mean, I've mostly brought it and you've been there for it, so that's my note to you if we're doing that.
I have a fondness in my heart for weak opinions strongly expressed.
that turned mean. It was nice and then it turned mean. So, all right. I mean, this is a good time for a nice turned mean.
Yeah, speaking of mean, we're going to talk about gay Republicans.
We're going to talk about gay Republicans. Yeah. And we have a guest to help us do that. Maybe, hopefully he knows what he's getting into and is a gay Republican, but
yep like an elected gay Republican.
First we have a couple things. You're gonna do some feedback.
Yes, here we go. Hey Mike and Kyle, I really enjoyed the anime episode. Not knowing much about it, I truly found it interesting and informative. I did want to bring up a couple of things. First, in defense of Taylor Swift, which fucking fuck, goddamn. I will preface by saying I am not a Swiftie or even really a big fan at all. I listen if her music comes on, if it is a song I enjoy, and that is about the extent of it. That being said, I also understand people who do not care for her music at all. Completely valid. Much of it can sound extremely similar. Also, who writes a 10-minute song about a 3-month relationship like she did about Jake Gyllenhaal? All I can say about that is it must have been some great dick to inspire an epic piece such as it did.
If I dated Jake Gyllenhaal, there would be a 10-hour song about it. You know what? That makes sense to me.
But I digress. The point I'm wanting to make is that while she's not for everyone, I think it is a stretch to say she's anywhere near an untalented hack. The woman was writing some pretty good music when she was 15 and younger and continues to do so today. That, in my eyes, is not untalented.
I agree. I think you're completely misfounded in your accusations that she has no talent.
Okay, great.
We're getting the feedback out there. I agree with this feedback.
No, she's musical fettuccine Alfredo. You can be really good at fettuccine Alfredo for it still to be boring food.
So you're not saying that's different. You're saying you don't like it. That's different than untalented.
The second thing I wanted to bring up is that I was surprised that nothing was said about the passing of gay icon Leslie Jordan. Unless I missed it. If so, I apologize. Maybe it's just me. Everyone is so nice to us.
I know. Very nice.
I was such a huge fan and always had hoped to meet him someday. Unabashedly himself and as queer as they come, a true queen who I will miss dearly. It may be that the episode was recorded prior to his death. I have no idea how it works. That's exactly what happened. Leslie Jordan is a huge gay icon. I would nominate him as like every gay's gay elder statesman, like desire. Like if you could have a gay appear like on your shoulder and coach you through being gay, it would be Leslie Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Gus Kentworthy coaching through Mask Bros coming out process on a Netflix TV show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
This would be the TV show I would actually watch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly right. Yeah.
We recorded on Sundays.
We record on Sundays and the episode comes out on Thursday and he died in the interim. So, thanks for the feedback as always, Sergio. We appreciate it. And we love feedback. Send it in, everybody.
Yeah. 100 words?
Yeah. We have 100 words. So as I'm sure you know by now, or at least I hope so, if you are at the $15 a month or above level on Patreon, you can send in 100 words and I will say them. And it doesn't matter if you've done it before. Here's your proof of that. John Wong is back with another 100 words.
John Wong, back again. Another round, 100 words. Here we go. Let's see how different they are.
Hi, Kyle and Mike. It's me again with another 100 words.
Reminder, Mike is not reading the 100 words yet. This is just what he does, and we're all fine with it.
First of all, I've been appreciating the anime episode as someone who grew up watching Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, and Pokemon. Secondly, I got another 100 plug for voting, as it's coming up real soon.
Yeah. Again, still not the 100 words yet, but keep going.
They start now. Hey, gayish listeners, the election is coming next Tuesday, November 8th. Not only is abortion on the ballot, but other LGBT stuff is on it too. Voting for pro-equality candidates in the House and Senate means we can protect marriage equality so that the Supreme Court doesn't overturn those rights. Voting for pro-equality state, House, and Senate candidates means getting your state to better protect LGBT people. Finally, don't forget school board races. Elect better school board candidates so we don't get book bans or anti-trans policies in our schools. Need some help? You can Google stuff like Planned Parenthood endorsements or HRC endorsements in your state for recommendations. Not necessarily endorsing either org, but good places to start to see who supports us. Let's show up to the polls or early vote by Tuesday and make sure we protect democracy and our rights.
And just edit, it's this Tuesday given when our episode will come out.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. And
he said the date. So
Planned Parenthood and HRC, I will endorse those orgs. So thanks for everything. Thanks again for everything. And we'll continue listening to the latest gayish episodes as I go drive to knock on doors in Michigan. Best, John.
Cool. Also not 100 word part of the 100 words. Right. School boards. I saw an article in The Advocate recently that more and more LGBT people are running for positions on their school board, which is huge because, as John mentioned, the number of attacks, like the schools and especially like high schools, even younger, are where Republicans are attacking LGBT kids. And that to have someone on the, there's like a small number of people on the school board that sometimes are positions or races that no one gives a fuck about. So those positions are making a lot of big decisions. They have all this input where you see people yelling at school board meetings, and then a lot of times they decide, the school board votes and decides. So having an LGBT person on the school board to be like, yo, we're normal and you can read our shit and that's not going to turn your kids gay is like very important.
Yep. School board meetings are excellent care and watching.
Oh God. Right. Places, yeah. Right?
Like,
yeah.
Lastly, and then we'll get into the news. Patreon. If you are listening to this episode a day early, which you get to do that if you are a Patreon supporter, it's our happy hour. Tonight is our happy hour. So come to the happy hour at 6 p.m. Pacific. And if you're listening to this on Thursday when the show comes out for everyone, you're too late. Sorry. Yeah. See you in February.
Yep.
And now the news. Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News. 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 News the first. So in South Carolina, talking about the Supreme Court and overturning marriage equality and potentially other Supreme Court rulings, a dude named Henry McMaster is running as the Republican candidate for governor in South Carolina. And in a debate just this last week with former Representative Joe Cunningham, he said, in essence, if the Supreme Court rules against Obergefell v. Hodges that made same-sex marriage the law of the land in the U.S., as Republican governor of South Carolina, he absolutely would start enforcing the law in South Carolina, which currently is still that there is no gay marriage. Quote, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I think marriage ought to be between a man and a woman.
Yes, you are old-fashioned.
Just like I think that boys ought to play in boy sports and girls ought to play in girls sports. But I mean, you have to have some common sense in this arena, which seems to be changing all the time. But I think our traditions are strong and for a reason.
Common sense would be following the advice of the medical doctors who study this, know what works best and make recommendations. That's the smart thing. That's common sense. Common sense is not, I feel like this is the answer, or my history, like my tradition, like I just feel like this is the thing we should do because we've always done it. No, we should look at the people that study this, that talk to trans kids, the trans kids themselves, like because he talked about like boys. The common sense thing is listen to the experts in the field and do what they recommend, and all major medical organizations say the exact same thing. So you're a fucking idiot.
Yep. Fucking idiot.
Yep.
Your bullshit is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You asshole.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I think, you know, we just saw all of this with Roe versus Wade, and the way that our system works, whether you're American and don't know how your system works, which is likely, or international and don't have to care.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court, when they strike down laws, what they really are doing is making them unenforceable. They don't have the power to change state law. They just have the power to say, okay, state, your law that's bullshit is no longer valid and you can't enforce it.
So it can still sit there on the books so and no one can ever, and then if someone could try to enforce it, and then that could be taken up to the Supreme Court if needed.
That's right, but it also has the effect of when a decision comes down that reverses a reversal, then those laws just automatically, like, snap your finger, come back into effect. So there's wide swaths of the country where abortion was illegal, just unenforceable, that, like, instantly the law changed in effect overnight because it was still on the books, as you said.
Yeah, yeah.
So sodomy laws, gay marriage laws, constitutional amendments that define marriage, all of these things become the law again and enforceable if the Supreme Court ever overturns Lawrence v. Texas or Obergefell v. Hodges. So it's really scary. South Carolina is one of those places where at least same-sex marriage is in trouble. Cunningham, the guy that's running against him, I thought it was really interesting that he said, quote, "We have politicians that have been in government so long and have become so calcified in their beliefs. And Governor McMaster has been a politician literally longer than I've been alive. And he's been taking our state backwards the entire time. Governor McMaster has been leading South Carolina into the 50s since the 80s.
Oh, oh, fuck. I love that.
That's great.
I have seen this talking point show up more and more, like younger people running and being like, you've been in office longer than I've been alive. I saw that in other races. And I think that's so interesting to be like, we need more young people that are representing the future of our country. Like they need to have roles in elected positions in our government, and yeah, they deserve to. And that's part of the representation of everyone. So we have so many people that are this traditional, you know, have been in this role for so fucking long. It's
yeah.
I completely agree with that sentiment.
News the second.
Great.
So this one, I hope I don't fuck it up because this is UK politics and UK politics are like, I'm pretty familiar, but a little bit not familiar.
I hope you fuck it up. That'll be fun.
So the Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly, in a interview on Sunday with Laura Kensberg, was talking about the upcoming FIFA World Cup in Qatar. When asked about human rights activists that are criticizing FIFA's decision to host the World Cup there, what do you think about that? His response was that fans need to, quote, compromise with Qatar. It's an Islamic country with very different set of cultural norms. And basically that gay people should behave like... Qatar's ambassador to the UK said that LGBTQ fans visiting the country, quote, can hold hands, but should be mindful of public displays of affection at the World Cup. And basically, cleverly, this dude said, yeah, be on your best behavior. That's not going over so well with the queer community,
yeah,
right?
More shit, yeah.
Yeah. So Labour MP Nadia Whittam rightly pointed out that queer people can't compromise when it comes to their safety. Ian Anderson, who is the chair of Stonewall, an organization there dedicated to gay rights, and was a top queer advisor to the Tory government. So he was like trying to help the conservative government there be less shitty. But then ultimately he quit because it wasn't working. But he said it was the wrong thing to say. Quote, for me, we've seen this in countless examples of countries around the world that are looking to liberalize their laws, their really disruptive laws around LGBTQ people. And this was the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
So FIFA is trying to assure that queer fans are going to be safe there.
I wouldn't believe any of that for a second. Like that's not.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second either. And of course, everything in the UK right now is sort of still trying to figure out just how shitty this government is going to be now that they're changing prime ministers. And my goodness, what a clusterfuck for everybody.
My goodness.
Yeah.
What a world.
And now we're going to see if Bolsonaro wins in Brazil and whether it's just... Like, anyway.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have to talk about soccer more later.
We're probably going to... this has been such a huge thing that they picked. I always said Qatar. What did you... How do you...
I've been saying Qatar.
Qatar, Qatar.
I've heard it both ways. I think both ways are correct.
The Q place.
Q, the Q place, yeah.
But that sounds like a queer bar. It's not. Well, that's just been such a huge topic of conversation and just such a shitty decision that they made in advance. So they made it knowingly. They're sticking to it. Like there's no other thing to blame other than just flat out homophobia and indifference. So yeah, we should talk more about it.
Yep. Shitbirds.
Yeah.
News the last. This is my favorite story of the week.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is a group of queer mountain climbers. The name of
the mountain queers.
The organization is called Pink Summits.
I like mine better.
Yeah. Well, you know, and their goal has been to carry a rainbow flag to the highest mountains of each continent, including Mount Everest.
Yeah. That's so much work. Could you just like fly a drone up there? Or I don't know.
But most recently, just last week, they took a rainbow flag and a Ukrainian flag to Kyrgyzstan and planted it on Vladimir Putin Peak. They named a mountain after Vladimir Putin, so that's where they took their gay ass flag.
Wow.
And a Ukrainian flag. It's in the Tian Shan Mountains in Kyrgyzstan. They say that it's an act of protest against Putin's quote homo and transphobic imperial and neo-colonial regime. He's not going to be super happy about it.
No, he doesn't love the gays.
Right, he does not love the gays. Also, I didn't realize this, but just this last week, Russia has increased restrictions on quote unquote gay propaganda. So the anti-LGBT propaganda law that went into effect in 2013 that we've talked about many times on the show bans the promotion of non-traditional families to minors. But yesterday, lawmakers voted unanimously to expand the ban to all ages, not just to minors. So it's illegal to promote non-traditional families to anybody in Russia, not just kids. It's a little unclear how that's actually going to affect things in practice because things have been locked down so much for, you know, Russian gay symbolism since 2013. But if you're found guilty of breaking the law, you face a fine of up to $6,500. That's 400,000 rubles. The country is using this law. They even fined TikTok approximately $49,000 for not censoring videos with LGBT themes country. But that was also all of that is happening at the same time that these protesters are raising the pride flag on Vladimir Putin's face.
that's really cool what they're doing, and unfortunately we still need to prove that like gay people are all kinds of professions, interests, hobbies, things they do. So, you know, I saw this with a trans person climbing and putting a trans flag at the top of something too. It's like showing other LGBT people or other trans people, like we can do the same things as everyone else and we can succeed, or like, you know, that's even a cooler shit than I could ever do. So like we can do cool shit of all kinds, including climbing fucking mountains because we want to. So
yeah,
that's awesome. I'm also tired just thinking about it.
Right. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Better than me.
Yeah. That's right.
But thank you.
Yeah.
That's the news.
Well, speaking of people that we want to plant their flag in our... Stop. Okay. Thank you to the following Patreon members. Sean Grabbert. Christopher Muntian. Munton. Munchen. Muntian. Shane Harrison. Thanks, Shane.
That's the easiest one you've had in a while.
I've had so many easy ones. Nick J. No, that's the easiest one I had. Nick J.
Nick Jonas is giving us money?
Aren't you close? Okay, and Michael Senkow. Hey, I know that bitch. If you want bonus episodes content, if you want to have had the opportunity to have gone to...
By the way.
What did I say?
Senkow. He gets that a lot. Michael Senko.
That's what I said. You said it wrong. Michael. if you want to have had the opportunity to have come to our Patreon happy hour yesterday, but want bonus episodes content, things a day early, go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Do it.
Do you want to talk about gay Republicans?
No.
I know, right? We did.
Oh my God, Kyle.
Whoa, my God, Mike.
Gay Republicans, why? Why are gay Republicans?
Why is you gay Republicans?
Why?
How? Did you know? What is...
I hate it so much.
Well, you'll like it enough to... Okay, so we are talking to a gay Republican elected official who... Well, hopefully we've talked about Republicans on an episode in the past, episode 220, I believe. And
I mean, OK, we're going to talk to Daniel Zwanitzer, who is a member of the Wyoming House of Representatives. He is it's Representative Zwanitzer.
Yes.
So like he's actually writing laws and voting on them at the state level in Wyoming. And I just.
So we've talked about Republicans, but it'll be nice to talk to an actual. We've talked about Republicans a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to actually talk to someone and figure out kind of how, why, what's going through your mind. How do you kind of line up all of these different beliefs and identities? And
I've multiple times on the show said some sort of variation of that, that Republicans are dickbag fuckface assholes.
I
stand by that. So,
yeah,
this will be fun.
I did talk about him specifically. Like, we did not know or plan this in advance or anything, but I had talked about him on the Republicans episode. The Patreon bonus segment was about him. I found a Republican that was generally well regarded, both by seemingly by no, not well regarded by Republicans, who's well regarded for supporting LGBT issues within the Republican Party. So I said, I listened back to that, not knowing we were going to ever talk to him. I said very nice things about him.
Oh.
So like, I was listening to see if like, I wanted to like own up to, hey, I was real shitty to you. Here's what I said. I want to say, if I say things about someone, I want to be able to say it to them as well.
Yeah.
I didn't say shitty things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, it also seems like gay Republican, you're bad at one of them. Like you're either bad at being gay or you're bad at being a Republican.
Yeah, how do you do both?
And he might be bad at being a Republican based on some of the things that I've read about him.
Yeah.
We'll
see. But first, can I tell you some Gata?
Gata,
it's data but gay. There's a 2020 report by the Williams Institute that talks about LGBT adults and how they, which party they are affiliated with.
By the way, I really like that institute. They put out a lot of really good data about like what gay people are up to.
They've shown up a couple times and we should have like a mic seal of approval that we like hand out to, like we could be like send it to websites and places and be like, this gets the mic seal of approval. I'll put on your website, you know.
Dong dong.
They'll be like, I don't know who you are or really care
it
that
sounds,
much.
It sounds like the Law and Order thing, but it's me saying the word dong instead. Dong dong.
It should be the SVU.
It's the mushroom stamp of approval.
Ew, I hate us. Okay, there are 2020, there were 9 million LGBT adults in the U.S. registered and eligible to vote for the 2020 general election.
Okay, that seems low.
It does.
Register to vote, queers.
Yeah.
Get your shit together.
Yeah. Come out. Register to vote. Pack up shit and move out of your wife's place. You know, maybe in various orders that are relevant to you. But yeah. So of those, what percentage are Democrat, Mike?
I would guess like 85.
50% are Democrat.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, as opposed to, like, independent?
There are other options. Yeah, so 50% are...
Because all of you fence riders that have, like, riding the fence and whatever else you can ride.
I'll call you fence so I can ride you right down the middle. 50% are Democrat. 15% are Republican.
Great. So I was close.
You were... Yes. So, yeah, yeah. 85% are something not Republican. So 22% are independent and 13% either identify with another party or didn't know.
They're non-binary.
They're not, well, they're non-trinary. Yeah. I don't know how you count them. So 15% of LGBT voters are Republicans. There's a sizable chunk of people there that I don't understand. And that's part of why we're doing something like this, because this is not a flash in the plan. Wait.
Yeah.
there's a substantial amount of people here. We're talking...
Yeah.
I was going to say millions. I don't know if it's millions, but man, close.
Yeah. And well, I mean, is it ignorance? Is it just self-serving?
Is there a genuine belief in both, like both your identity just, and that they, like there's maybe there is no internal conflict because of some reason that I don't understand.
How can there not be cognitive dissonance there? Like, it just anyway.
Yeah. We just don't get it.
Internalized homophobia comes to mind as like a like, yeah, choose to spend your time believing in and participating in a group that hates you. That's a way. That's self-flagellation right there.
Yeah. Farting. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this with Joseph Peters Matthews being involved in a Christian religion is there's large swaths of that that really hate you,
yeah,
and are the people that are funding, you know, laws and funding a lot of anti-LGBT rhetoric. So that's also one that there can be cognitive dissonance that I don't understand, but we have religious LGBT people too. So the other thing I'll mention is kind of the reverse of that is how many Democrats and Republicans support LGBT issues. So a 2021 Gallup poll, mm-hmm, I'll give you two stats from that. Overall, 70% of people overall in the U.S. support legal same-sex marriage. So okay, that's about, and I think the latest one might be up to 71% or something. So that's pretty up to date. 2021, 70% Democrats are 83%. 83% support same-sex marriage. I'm kind of surprised it's not even higher. I don't, you know, that's yeah, who's the 17% of Democrats that don't support same-sex marriage?
There are a bunch of Democrats over 70.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. For Republicans, 55% support legal same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
That just in the past couple years crossed the 50% mark. It has just now become the majority that support it.
Yep.
So that's a very recent that even a majority support same-sex
yep
marriage.
Yep. Doesn't surprise me.
Same. The other one is there were a couple questions that are related to trans people. I picked allowing openly trans, and it said allowing openly transgender men and women to serve in the military is how this question is worded. So that's already fucked up. Like, we don't know. But that to me was the most direct, like, there's no other reason to keep trans people out of the military other than you just are transphobic. Like, there, I don't see any, this is just so obvious.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with you. And as we'll talk about cognitive dissonance, it's possible to put a layer between yourself and the bigotry and convince yourself it's for some other reason, right? That like being trans requires, not requires, but like a lot of trans people are on hormone replacement therapy that costs money and is a drain on resources and can cause medical, you know, issues, that it's about readiness, that like all of that is just a like a candy coated shell around the horrible bitterness that is transphobia.
Yeah.
But like that person, there are very few people in the world that are going to be like, I fucking hate trans people. They're the worst and they suck and they deserve no rights.
Yeah. They're all on Twitter though.
They've convinced themselves that it's some other thing.
Yeah.
That's a proxy for their hate.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This is also the most direct question. You know, other questions are, I think this is the least controversial I can think of all the possible questions about trans people. So I thought that was the most telling. Mm. So, what percentage of the groups support allowing trans men and women to serve in the military? For Democrats, it is 87%.
Mm-hmm.
So even higher than those that support legal same-sex marriage. That was weird to me. For Republicans, it is 43%.
Sure. Okay.
So, I mean, you know, based on both stats there, half-ish, if we just want to be super general, half-ish don't support a couple key LGBT rights issues.
Yeah.
Which is not surprising. Yeah. So that those are the kinds of, you know, there's far more numbers and even, you know, things that paint Republicans even worse based on the, you know, the like bathroom or, you know, books or whatever, but just wanted to give one example. So these are kinds of things that I don't know. And we'll talk a little bit more with him about, you know, things that are built into the Republican policy, all that good stuff. So there's, yeah. There's a lot to learn. I both want to be genuine about talking to him about, like, I don't want to like lie and just pretend like everything's hunky dory. We've said shitty things about Republicans and, like you said, probably will continue to.
Yeah.
And I want to be open and direct about that. But I at the same time, I do want to learn. Like, I don't want to just be shitty and then leave. Like, this isn't like a porta potty where I want to like take a dump and get out. Like, I want to actually learn from him what's going on, you know, what he's thinking.
What's true for him. So we talked a little bit in the car ride last night home from Dungeons and Dragons. And I'm super interested in. We have some nervousness about the fact that however small we have a platform and what dangers are there in giving a signal boost to bad ideas that are bad for our community.
Yeah.
And I've been giving some thought about, like, if we have this dude on, are there things that he could say that would just be deal breaker, like pull the plug, this interview is over. And some of the candidates that come up for me are like, if you tell me that the election was stolen, I don't know how to move on from there. Do you?
No.
If you tell me that trans people are pedophiles, I don't know how to move on from that. Yeah. And then like, do we confront that and have a big old fiery fight that like is probably good for ratings? Do we pull the plug and not air any of this at all? I'm super interested in that, you know, and sort of nervous about it. And are there other things that we should add to that list of like, nah, dog,
yeah.
This, like, we're done.
I mean, I think some of those things that are objectively just true things, like the election was not stolen. There's no use of debating the idea of even having a discussion with someone that lasts any period of time. Starts to say that it's something valid to discuss with a guest to discuss each of your sides. Mm-hmm. So I think, what are the things that you are not allowed to have two different sides on? Election stolen, trans rights, especially for us looking out and paying attention to where the attacks are in our community, watching out for trans people, people of color, black people. These are the groups that are under attack right now. Mm-hmm. And it is really important that I think, like, yeah, you don't allow for conversation about this. This is not all at all speaking to what he believes. Like, we have not talked about. So this is just in general, like, we're thinking about in general, what kinds of things do we want to talk about and not talk about, and people we want to have on and not have on. I think given how we are consistently talk about all the negative things the Republicans do, to have one episode or one section, one person that might be a little bit different than that. I think we're still doing 98% of the time we're talking about it. We're saying like Republicans are doing bad things for us. So I think at least the balance we have is pretty decent.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to have Republican Representative Daniel Zwanitzer of Wyoming's 43rd District Republican out of Cheyenne. And we're going to have a chat.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. And fucking vote, you assholes.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard, and I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good, but also I enjoy the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do, yes. It was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah, well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. Oh God, am I ready? Okay, yeah, I'm ready. So are we back?
We're back.
We're back. We are here with Representative Dan Zwanitzer, who represents the 43rd district in Wyoming. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay, great. A Republican from Wyoming. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be on.
To start us off, can you tell us a little bit about what the 43rd district of Wyoming is like?
Oh, sure. The 43rd district is Eastern Cheyenne, and what I refer to as South Central Laramie County. So Cheyenne is the capital city of Wyoming. We have 10 state legislators in the county. So I'm one of the 10, 60 total in the legislature of Wyoming. So I have the east side of town, a lot of military, a lot of apartment complexes, some trailer parks, middle income families. Great place to represent and been happy to do so now for 18 years. Just got reelected to my 10th term. I don't have a general election opponent, so hopefully I got two more solid years in front of me here.
Oh, you just get to chill out now.
Yes. In Wyoming, the primary election is our election for about 90% of the races. So I had a Republican opponent against me further to the right, as always, and once again was successful in getting reelected.
Congrats. Wow.
Yeah. So when does the primary result in something in the general then? Is it just have to be within a certain amount of points? Like, is it a mercy rule that they're following? Oh,
no, we're pretty straightforward, right? It's just whoever gets the most votes in the primary moves on, and there was no Democrat on the ballot and no third party candidate ran against me or independent. So my election was basically August 17th, and I waited a bit to see if anybody, you know, tried to stage a writing campaign or an independent campaign, but no one has. So I think a week from Tuesday, smooth sailing for me.
Got it. I misunderstood the situation. In Washington State, we have a top two primary, so we often end up with two Democrats or two Republicans in the general, and then I forgot that's not how everybody does it. So,
yeah, I'm the chairman of the Elections Committee, and it's one of the things we've been discussing for a couple of years is to have an open primary, a runoff system, similar to what other states do. Haven't got there yet, but it's on the agenda here sometime soon.
Yeah. So I'm super interested in talking about your statement that you're a moderate Republican and that the people that run against you are further to the right, because I studied you a little bit and you definitely like might be bad at being a Republican. I'm not sure, right? So let's talk about election security first. You're on the Elections Commission, and I watched a committee hearing where you were saying like the elections are fine, the elections are secure. What's it like holding that opinion in the climate that we're in?
Yeah, no, it is kind of tough. So I've actually been on, it's called the Corporations and Elections Committee, for 16 of my years, and three terms as chairman now. So, you know, I've been around long enough and studied our elections and know our county clerks in the process. And I'm confident that they are above board in Wyoming, and there is no major cause of concern that there is any type of fraud in our elections, even though, you know, the drumbeat from all over the country, including people in Wyoming, continues to allege impropriety. But, you know, I've had a front row seat to it for over a decade, and we don't have machines hooked up to the internet. We have all sorts of, you know, practices and policies in place, and people who are, you know, securely handling the ballots. And we even had two kind of recounts and one third person who paid independently, and everything ran the second time. They looked at a hand record, counted every vote by hand, exactly the same as a computer. So it is a little challenging in Wyoming as more and more people, especially in my state, are getting a little more far to the right ideologically. It is kind of amazing, though, after our primary election, we used the same machines, same policies and procedures. We didn't have anybody claim any fraud from the primary election, although people are still claiming it from 2020 by using the same machines and the same people and the same equipment. So not sure what that's about, but so far we're good in the state.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you do know what it's about, right? Like it's fine to call elections fraudulent when you disagree with the result, but if you like the result, then you probably are going to shut up because it's not about the principle, it's about winning.
That does seem to be what some of my colleagues in the Republican Party have been pushing lately. The kind of saying we continue to, you know, I guess, talk inner amongst ourselves is some of these new party people who are running, you know, they really just want to win. We're not actually sure they want to govern. And so I think that's been the difficulty when some of them do get elected. They don't really want to govern. They just know to vote no on everything, and they don't read the bills. They don't do their homework. They don't really participate in the process. They get elected and kind of sit back and watch and complain. It's really difficult sometimes.
Yeah. So I noticed that you qualified your answer to Wyoming, which I understand is your expertise because you're in Wyoming and help run that election. Mm-hmm. But like, did Joe Biden win the election?
Yeah, no, I think I'm on record of saying I truly believe Joe Biden won the election. You know, we didn't. Sure. There is a low level of, we'll call it, fraud or instability or people misvoting, but not anywhere near the level it would take to call the election the other way. So, yeah, sure, do I say in other states, maybe, you know, a couple thousand ballots here or there, but certainly nowhere near what anybody's claiming that would have overturned the presidential election in 2020. So I do know my state. We don't have some of the other types of machines or internet technology capability that other states have. And so, you know, I don't know enough to talk about other states, but I'm confident that I know the pillow guy alleged 2,500 misvotes in Wyoming, that Donald Trump should have got more than 71% that he got in my state. It's just ludicrous and it's not true.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard that most of the prosecutions we're doing for voter fraud are actually Republicans that are getting charged. It makes me, I'm glad you passed the first test.
We actually did prosecute two people in my county for voter fraud, and they were both very right ideologically. Yeah. And they knew they were felons and voted anyway.
I was going to ask this about other things, like, and maybe this will help build up to this, but what kind of reactions do you get when you are saying something that is not the party line, that is not the talking points of the Republican Party?
You know, so, I mean, Wyoming is probably like many other states where, you know, I represent the capital city, a lot of government employees, a lot of educated workforce who live here. And so they're not quite, you know, the more rural voters who allege certain things. I think my constituency, and one of the reasons that I continue to, I think, get reelected against more ideologically right-wing opponents is because, you know, I kind of say how it is. I say, here are the facts, and I stand up for them. I mean, and part of that is, I think, being open about my orientation. There's some trust people have in me as a politician that you know, they believe I'm honest and I say how it is. And so when I say there's no fraud or when I stand up for, you know, stuff on both sides of the aisle, there's some pushback, but my constituency, you know, continues to support me, which I appreciate, right? I think there's other places in the state I would never get elected, but the people in the capital city who a lot of our government employees, they know the truth. I know the truth. And I campaign on, you know, trying to do what's right for all Wyomingites. That's what keeps me elected.
Let's talk about your election history. So you said you've been in for 18 years. So this will be years 19 and 20 coming up when you start your new term in January. Mm-hmm. Have you been out for all of those years?
No. This will be my 10th term coming up. I didn't come out until officially 2014. So I would have been in about 9 years.
And how did that go?
You know, for as afraid as I was for all those years, when it actually happened by 2014, there was no major news story. There was no press release. There was no, you know, editorials about it or against me or big news stories. I came out at first at a legislative conference with my now spouse, with other legislators who, I mean, you know, I was 33 in Wyoming and not married, so it wasn't a huge jump, right? But when I actually finally did it, there was no major pushback. And there's really never been a major pushback. Even from the far right, when they campaign against me, it's been about my ideology or some of my votes. But I think everyone's very sensitive here in Wyoming about sexuality issues, right? With the Matthew Shepard incident 20-some years ago, you know, the Brokeback Mountain jokes we get. And so, you know, actually my sexuality has never really been a hot button topic of conversation when people are attacking me for any number of other reasons. So it's been great.
It's interesting that you mention Matthew Shepard. Does that still come up or weigh on people's minds when you talk about orientation?
Yeah, I do. I think it's ever kind of present. If you've been here for a while, it was such an overwhelming instance of what happened almost 25 years ago now. Yeah. And we didn't handle it really well as a state because we didn't know how to handle it or talk about those issues. And so we probably flubbed it a little bit. And the rest of the nation was watching. And it's been a very sensitive subject for 20 years when talking about, you know, LGBT issues. I mean, the great thing about Wyoming, people don't realize, is we actually haven't passed any anti-LGBT legislation since 1971. I mean, other Republican right-wing states were putting constitutional amendments in, all sorts of anti-trans bills. None of that has actually passed in Wyoming in almost 50 years. And that's due to, I think there are 3 or 4 openly LGBT legislators right now. But we certainly had a strong history of LGBT legislators, some out, some not out, who have held off a lot of that social ideological junk from ever infecting our state.
Well, okay, without telling me the platform doesn't matter, how do you reconcile that with the family values portion of the 2022 Wyoming GOP platform? Like it's exactly the opposite of what you just said, right? Number 7 is the Wyoming Republican Party believes in God's created order, that in his perfect design, he created 2 sexes, male and female. Number 8, marriage is defined as the union of one man and one woman. Number 9, the traditional family based on the foundation of marriage between one man and one woman is the best institution and is the authority providing children with education and training.
Yeah. So the honest answer is about 2012. We had a schism between the legislators and the Wyoming Republican Party that's never truly healed. And so our state party, the State Republican Party Central Committee, the people who do the platform, it really has no, I shouldn't say no sway, but very little sway in the actual legislature of Wyoming. The people who are, you know, running the state party lately are kind of the furthest right of the ideological spectrum, because I wouldn't have formally called myself a moderate 10 years ago. I don't think my politics have changed. Just the rest of Wyoming kept going further and further to the right. But, you know, I mean, we have a couple people email, hey, you have to follow the platform, or some people will campaign. I've never campaigned that I'm following the Republican platform of the state. It's not even reflective of the Republican platform of my county. So that's much more fluid and not quite as ideologically stringent. So, you know, basically, I think the majority of the legislators now for the past decade, because we're a 85% Republican legislature, the majority of us just say, huh, and we vote how we think best affects our constituents. So the party really doesn't have much of a hold on politics, actually, in our state.
So the R next to your name doesn't matter? Is that sort of the thought?
That's a little bit
do what I want kind of answer, right? Like, yes. Sure, I have an R next to my name, but I do what I want. I'm my own man.
When I started 18 years ago, I was a proud Republican, and I've watched kind of the party, starting with the Tea Party a decade ago, get kind of lost. I get people calling me Rhino Republican in name only all the time. And I just tell them, hey, if I'm a Rhino, all the other Republicans in my district are also Rhinos, and they're the ones who keep electing me. So I'm doing something right by running as a Republican, reflecting the kind of maybe classic Republican, more conservative ideology that's not this new social wedge issues left and right all the time we see. So do I think the Republican and the R matter? Yes. I think the Republican Party has lost its way. And I think that we're all worried, the people like me who are left, you know, who aren't the very big Trump supporters, trying to figure out where our party is going and if it's totally lost or we're going to have a pushback. And we've seen that with Liz Cheney. So I would say I'm a Liz Cheney.
I was just going to say Liz Cheney.
I mean, if there's a state that can keep the fight going, it's Wyoming. And yeah, Liz Cheney lost her her reelection here. And by me not supporting the woman who did beat her, I took a pretty good political hit in my numbers in my reelection. I only got 54%, which is my lowest I've had in 20 years. But I don't know. It is getting tougher and tougher, I think, to follow the party platform and be the Republican that I think we all were 15 years ago. And so who knows, you know, in the future, if you see another Trump presidency, I will say it will be continually difficult to be a Republican. But I do think there are a lot of people like me in Wyoming who are elected, who are feel the same way I do, and we've kind of held off that from permeating our elected officials, even if it's certainly a groundswell in parts of our state.
The platform, if maybe that's not presenting as much of an issue in how you legislate, I think other things are. I mean, there's the National Republican platform, which also believes marriage is between a man and a woman. There is beliefs that Republicans hold about same-sex marriage in which it just tipped the scale to more than half, just over more than half of Republicans support same-sex marriage. So that means 45% do not support same-sex marriage. Republicans are attacking trans kids in schools. They're attacking LGBT issues in schools. And so maybe all of those kind of add together to I find it really hard to reconcile being gay and being a Republican given all those. So I'm curious, how do you feel, I guess, about all of those, or what's your kind of response to people like me that don't totally understand that?
You know, I'd say even 4 years ago, I would have said, you know, I hope it's just a temporary blip and it's going to swing back. And, you know, I think like a lot of kind of more moderate Republicans right now who aren't Trump followers, we're a little bit lost in the wilderness and we're still hoping the pendulum swings back. So, yes, is it tough being a Republican with my sexuality and some of my views? Yes. But I read the Democratic Party platform and say that's not me either. Should I run as an independent? Potentially. That thought has crossed my mind. Sometimes I guess when I grew up with certain beliefs and worked really hard for the party and have been so involved in it, and even though I'm kind of watching it move away from where I am, it is difficult to just leave it kind of behind and move on when I still think there's some hope that it's going to come back to the party that I know and I used to really, I guess, respect and represent. And so if Liz Cheney leads the way, I think that's great, and I'm probably willing to give it, you know, another term or two. But as I said, you know, if Trump's our nominee or a president again, it's I don't recognize the Republican Party that I knew 10 years ago. So, yes, I mean, I admit that I'm at odds with the platform. I'm probably at odds with any platform right now. And we did get a libertarian and an independent elected in Wyoming last year. And so it is possible. It just kind of remains to be seen where it's all heading, I guess.
Do they still caucus with the Republicans?
They don't. Actually, so it's gotten so difficult in our kind of in when the Republican Party controls Wyoming. I mean, all the legislators are Republican, 51 of the 60. Right. It's not like you can blame Democrats or blame anybody else for the problems. So we really have a schism in our party. And actually, it led 2 years ago to just not having caucus anymore. Kind of just gave up having caucus as a party because it got tiresome trying to, you know, get work done and try to explain to people, here's what we need to be doing. And some of my colleagues, especially some of the newer ones, just aren't on the same page. And so maybe, you know, there's a group of us that are just holding out against kind of where the political tide is hitting right now. But I think we're trying to hold the fort down until the cavalry comes. Maybe that's a bad Wyoming analogy. But so kind of, you know, what you see Republican politics in other states, what they're turning into, you know, we're not quite to where Arizona or even Idaho is yet. And I think many of us who remember the Republican Party of yesteryear are still holding strong in Wyoming and hoping it goes back. But it is getting increasingly ideological and difficult. And honestly, a lot of those people are moving from other states here. A lot of the people are leaving, you know, California to come to Wyoming, the last last bastion of freedom, right? And then they're running for office and they're getting involved in our politics. And we see a lot of outside influence pushing us further to the right, which is not what people here grew up with.
And talking about like what people grew up with, and you're talking about your investment in the party and the party that you used to love or recognize, maybe it would help me understand like what are the things that ground you that you like about the Republican Party that you are attached to and want to see continue?
Yeah, sure. You know, Wyoming is we're an energy rich state. 40% of the energy that powers America comes from Wyoming, right? We have more coal than all Saudi Arabia does oil. And so we're a very energy friendly state. You know, I grew up in a small business family, and this kind of the work ethic of the government's not going to ever be able to help you. You have to do it for yourself if you're going to make it in life with no social safety net. I think was big in my upbringing. You know, we I have a farm and we have a ranch. So the agricultural roots, I know there's, you know, Democrats who are strong agriculturalists, but in Wyoming, you know, we've just been a Republican state for a century now, and it wasn't an ideological Republican. It was like a libertarian. We are anti-government, anti-control over us. It's not a kind of a Southern Republican. We band around religion. And so that's the Republicanism I think a lot of us grew up here, where we call it live and let live, that we don't want the government in our lives. We don't want our neighbors in our lives. We just want to be free to do what we want. And now when you have kind of this, the new social ideological element of the party saying, well, you have to live this way and you have to believe this, and we need our, you know, our books to not, you know, mention transgender individuals. It's just new for our state. I know that ideological Republican war has been going other places for a long time, but it just didn't really arrive in Wyoming until 2016. You know, our House races cost about $5,000 historically to run for a legislative seat. You know, in Colorado, they're like $120,000. But, you know, big money finally has come in the state. And now all of our races are $15,000 or $20,000, which is still cheap. But we were really safe and secluded. I think people left us alone that we were a Republican state, and we didn't have a lot of the national attention on us until lately. And now that same kind of schism you see in the National Republican Party, you know, is, you know, happened here in Wyoming as well.
So then, you know, you talk about being in it currently and kind of hoping or working towards making it the party you used to know. Is there a direction that it could go that, like, what would have to happen for it to be like, you're done with it?
We're getting close. You know, I think the most difficult thing that I see with the party is just this anti-science, anti-intellectualism. That's eventually going to drag it to obscurity. I mean, you can't have a group of people, you know, being against everything, you know, data, science, where the world's going and just bury their heads in the sand and say we don't want to, you know, exist in the 21st century. And then we just, you know, we throw the word woke around a lot here and I don't think anyone knows what it means. But so what would it take? You know, I think that's what worries me more than anything is the diminishment of the intellectualism in the party, that they're more and more of my fellow Republicans are fine following without thinking. And we're getting dangerously close, you know, more. I mean, every time I look at statistics, more and more college educated voters are going independent or to the Democratic Party. And I think that's ultimately what's going to kill us as a Republican Party is if we, you know, move away from thought. So that's, I think, what worries me, what would eventually push me all the way out when we have a complete groupthink and we don't rely on data science or common sense. And we're getting dangerously close.
How do you fix that? I mean, like back in the South, they say you can't fix stupid, right? Like, what do you do about that? How do you actually get that turned around culturally?
I it's Wyoming, right? We're the least populated state. I do what I can with what I have, and I hope that the national forces can fix some of those things. I mean, a lot of what we're doing in Wyoming is just what I call holding down the fort, trying to keep our economy going. And it is tough, right? We are such an energy state with coal, oil, and gas, as I'm sure in, you know, Seattle area, right? Those are all fossil fuels and people want them gone. But that really is what 70% of our tax base in Wyoming is dependent on coal, oil, and gas. And so when those jobs go away and we move away from that, our state's basically bankrupt. And so we're trying to find ways in an environment where nobody wants to raise taxes because it's Wyoming and we can't raise any taxes, that if we can't keep those minerals going, we don't know how to keep our state going. So that's, I think.
Well, in 2019, you were supporting a 3 cent per gallon gas tax increase. I saw you do an interview on that. What happened to that? Did it pass? What were the repercussions?
That one did not. So we've only passed two major taxes in the past 15 years. One was a 10 cent gas tax in 2013, and one was a lodging tax in 2019. We actually have a smaller budget now than we did 16 years ago, not counting inflation. Right. That's kind of how conservative we've gotten in Wyoming and how we will not raise taxes and we continue to try to cut the government. I mean, we saw that happen in Kansas and Louisiana, and it had eventually got so bad people pushed back, and we're getting pretty close to that in Wyoming. You know, we got a lot of money in the CARES Act and the ARPA funds from the federal government, but, you know, it's not sustainable here. So, you know, sometimes I'm not sure I don't need to be the best Republican. I think there's a group of us who are still kind of the leaders of the elected Republicans in the state who are just trying to keep our state going for as long as we can. And that's why we're still in it against some of the ideological stuff. We're just in it to get the job done.
Well, that's actually a good segue in a way, because the American Conservative Union Foundation's Center for Legislative Accountability gave you a 55% rating and says you are tied for last when it comes to voting like a Republican in your state.
So the good and bad thing of that, that was, I think, last year. I was the chairman of the Revenue Committee, the Taxation Committee in Wyoming, which is, you know, the job that everybody wants to be a leader in the legislature and a committee chairman, but very few people want to be the chairman of the Taxation Committee, right? Because nobody wants taxes. So it's kind of your job to, you know, offer taxes up to the full body and push them and give the, you know, we need to raise taxes on gasoline or property or sales. And when you're pushing tax increases left and right for 2 years, all of my Republican scores plummeted. So I'm hoping, you know, in about a year from now that I'm back in charge of corporations, which is insurance and building codes and election issues, telecom, my Republican street cred goes back up.
I'm gonna double check my work though, because I think that's this year's number, and they said that you were up 19 points from last year, and I was gonna ask you, did you move right this year, because they seem to think you did.
Oh well, yeah. No, I'm no longer the chairman of the taxation committee. I'm back to corp. So if I jump 19 points and I'm still the lowest, it's probably because I keep killing all the anti-LGBT bills. I'm not a social conservative, and I don't campaign as one. You know, I think I've been pretty honest with my voters of, I guess I even call myself a moderate Republican now, just because I keep that libertarian mindset. And so, yeah, I'm sure the American Conservative Union probably doesn't rate me very high anymore.
Well, we've talked about what Republicans think about you. What about LGBT, the other side, LGBT people? What kind of things do you hear from LGBT people, particularly being a gay Republican?
You know, actually, I think I get probably more flack from the LGBT community being a Republican than I do from my Republican colleagues for being LGBT. And there might be, you know, whispers about it, whatever, but it certainly has never been a public attack on me for being a gay Republican or being married or having kids. So, you know, and I do get a little bit of pushback from the LGBT community, not directly, but lots of social comments on media platforms, right? Every now and then I get an interesting phone call from New York or California, someone screaming at me on the voicemail for how dare you go against your people, whatever it may be. But even in, I mean, in the Wyoming community, we have a really strong LGBT community here. I'm friends with a lot of the other, you know, professionals in our community. And at least in my part of the state, in Cheyenne and Laramie, the southeast corner of the state, we're really pretty LGBT friendly, quite honestly. We don't have attacks and we don't have a lot of vitriol. It's been a very safe place for LGBT people and their families. A lot of LGBT people are raising kids in Wyoming, more than people realize until you look at the census numbers. So the great thing about Wyoming is we historically have not been anti-LGBT, and politically that reflects, as I said, we haven't passed any. I think we've had those kind of trans bathroom bills up 4 times, and they've been quickly defeated every time. I mean, some of that's me, some of that's other legislators, but we just don't put up with some of that junk historically. We'll see about the next 2 years. We did get some more ideological legislators elected, and it's going to be a little tougher than it used to be.
And it seems like a lot of the focus then that you're placing is at the state level versus what I see in the broader, what I view as the Republican attack on LGBT people is national and other state levels. So I guess I find it hard to remove from the other states or broader things Republicans are doing, but you seem to be able to focus purely on what you're doing within your state.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we are so insulated from a lot of the other states and what's going on nationally. People overlook us quite often. And so, and we have the shortest legislative session of any state. Mm-hmm. We're only in session for 2 months a year. And so you just don't have time to debate social issues. You come in, you get the budget solved, try to figure out how to spend and save $10 billion. And you have so many other bills that are in front of you that everybody realizes is more important than fighting over LGBT or abortion or any number of wedge issues on either side of the aisle. I think that does help that we have a very short session and we don't have time to just sit around and debate social issues. We got to get the job done quick. So that's been a benefit for some of these wedge issues dying in Wyoming is we just don't have time to talk about them and we move on quick.
I guess I'm wondering if you, you mentioned that LGBT people have maybe expressed more negative comments about being a Republican. Do you understand where that's coming from, or can you understand that, or do you think people are out of line because you have a great track record in your state?
No, I think the National Republican Party and their platform and some of the most vocal Republicans in elected office who are using LGBT issues as wedge issues really hurts me. Hmm. Now, do I feel like those Republicans are me Republicans? Not really. I mean, maybe I just, you know, shut the outside world out and say, here's my job. Here's what I do in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And here's how best to represent my constituents and try to maybe tune it out. I mean, anything you don't like, you tune out. But no, I do think the Republican Party's policies are harmful for LGBT and their families. I do look at the numbers like everyone else, that more and more people are okay with gay marriage. But I think sometimes people have the wrong idea about Wyoming. We're not like Southern Republicans. We're pretty libertarian and we don't really talk about social issues. And so we kind of ignore a lot of the national pundits and some of those things. I mean, Fox News still creeps into our state, but When you live in a community in a state where everybody knows everybody, it's much more difficult to have any kind of divisive issues. You can't really attack people who are LGBT when, you know six of them who live within 5 minutes of you, and you see each other at their schools and the bars and churches. So I think that's what really makes Wyoming special and unique and a good microcosm of the country, is when you truly know everybody by name and about them. It's really tough to kind of hate people and say they're somehow less than, or we have to, invalidate their marriage. I mean, everybody sees me and my spouse. We're out a lot with our kids. And I think that visibility really helps, especially in our state and other communities in Wyoming, realize that there's no reason to ban marriage or have bathroom rules or not allow, sport, junior high or elementary kids to play on sports teams. So I think that's really the benefit of being in the state. And maybe we do tune out some of the national Republican politics.
Are there any gay bars in Wyoming?
There are not. I believe we have, I'm not sure if every, we were the only state without a gay bar 10 years ago. I'm not sure where we are now, but there are none, though.
Any bar is a gay bar if you bring enough friends. I wanted to ask you, does your husband vote for you? What does your husband think about all of this?
Oh, I sure hope so. No, my husband was raised way back in Orange County, the Republican part of Southern California, and he was in FFA, Future Farmers of America, and always dreamed of coming to Wyoming and being on a ranch and being in agriculture up close. And so he moved to a small rural town, and we met in college. I was in grad school, and he's been pretty good with the politics, quite honestly. I don't think it was his hopes and dreams to be a political spouse, but, he is registered as a Republican, and it is interesting the conversations we have, right, on a host of issues. He came from the Vietnamese area of Orange County, Little Saigon, and so he has kind of a different perspective of a lot of culture issues than you see in Wyoming. So, he doesn't. It was a little uncomfortable for a couple of years, right? Bringing him to events and making sure everybody was comfortable. But now that it's been 8 years, he hangs out in the spouses club and goes to legislative parties and events with me, conferences. Yeah. And I think we share enough of the same views. We have healthy debates like any couple where we have some different political ideology, but I think it helps me come to a consensus and think about everything from a larger worldview. Mm-hmm. My dad is also a state legislator in Wyoming. And so it's nice to have those conversations as well with people you trust and you can be comfortable with on where the party's going and where issues are and how we react.
Wait, is your dad from the crazy wing of the Republican Party?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. People, I have a couple of probably crazy votes that surprised some of the Democrats and my moderate colleagues on some tax issues, some free speech issues. And every now and then, we kind of have two or three blocks in the legislature, and I'm aligned with kind of the far right ideological bloc on some issues now and then. And people kind of raise eyebrows and look at me funny. But I think that's part of really understanding issues and trying to do what's best for people. It takes a lot of hard work being a legislator, quite honestly. Here in Wyoming, we don't have staff. I get, one college intern and one high school intern during session, but the rest is learning it and thinking about consequences. I wouldn't say my family are ideologically crazy Republicans, but they've been Republicans their whole lives.
I was going to ask also, there was some controversy, which you've weathered. Things are great. But there were allegations that you didn't actually live in your district and that there were some, were you qualified to sit in your seat? And the investigation against you was actually started by Republicans. And I was kind of wondering if any of that was like trying to drum you out of the party for not being Republican enough because you are so moderate in so many ways.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. Yeah, the attacks did come actually from the state central committee of the Republican Party. When you're the chairman of the elections committee and you stop some of the more interesting, colorful ideas the state Republican Party has. I don't have a lot of fans in the state Republican Party, right? I mean, I'm second in seniority in the House, and I can, you know, try to pass stuff and kill stuff a little more effectively than most other legislators at this point. It was a pretty big hit from I didn't see coming from my own state party on my residency, and didn't even talk to me about it, didn't ask about it. Didn't have it on the agenda of their state party meeting, came out of nowhere. They sent a complaint, made a big press release of it. And there were a lot of my friends who basically said it was a political hit because they don't like gay people. And I try to think better of other humans. But it did hit pretty hard and pretty fast from nowhere. And, you know, we had to deal with it last year in the session. I had a we had a vote on if I was qualified to serve, and I easily won that. And then there was a vote for an investigative committee to get involved in my life, and that went down like 20-40. So, no, there is honestly a push from the state Republican Party that I'm impeding some of their bills they would like to see passed. But sometimes I'm on their side, sometimes I'm not, when it does best for my district and where I think the state should be. So, yeah, it is getting tougher to be a Republican in Wyoming, and I would agree that you know, the state Republican Party is not my biggest fans. But there's a lot of other legislators like me who are on their target list as well.
And you mentioned that you heard, was that kind of like rumors that it might be coming after you because of your identity? Was that something you like heard from a source, or how did that come across to you?
I think that's what everybody just kind of said, that there are nobody from the four people who brought the complaint mentioned it, but I think I'm seen as an easy target. I hate to speculate too much on where it came from and why, but you know, once you've been in for 18 years, you don't gain friends usually in politics. You know, more and more people, have issues with you, especially when you don't fall in line ideologically with where the state party wants to go. So, but I did have, you know, some of the attorneys who looked at my case and read through the complaints, you know, they made thoughts that they're just attacking you because you're gay. And my constituency and my county, I mean, it was pretty obvious to everybody in Laramie County that it was a complete worthless political hit. It got got one article in the paper, and that was it. I mean, I made front page news in cities that were 7 hours away in Wyoming about how horrible I was in this investigation. And my own county was like, this is a political hit. We're not even covering it. So that's things are just different in Cheyenne and Laramie than they are maybe in the hinterlands of Wyoming.
Yeah. Well, then I'm curious, just for either the state Republicans or national Republicans, what would you want them to know or do, especially when it comes to, you know, from your lens, being gay?
Oh, I think we need to get back to the roots of treating everyone with dignity and respect and equal rights. That there's this junk out there that somehow it's special rights to just be who you are and raise a family and be married. And use the bathroom you want to use and play on a sports team you want to play on. And I think, you know, I'm a center right guy, and I believe in conservative principles, and we probably have too much government spending and an unnecessary, social services sometimes. But I do think we have to treat all people with respect. And that's really where it comes back to. We have to respect the meritocracy that we live in, that people spend their lives researching and learning and becoming scientists who are the experts. And we need to listen to people who are experts, who are trained, not social media. We have to get away from, following demagogues and really think for ourselves and learn and study and be a more intellectual party about, you know, free market systems. So I would just encourage my party to get away from social issues, but they seem to be effective over the last 20 years, these wedge issues that you can exploit. But I think, as we've seen for 20 years, they tend to probably come back and bite both parties. You always try to find a niche to exploit, and within 4 years, it goes away.
Well, Republican, Representative Swanitzer,
Tell me Republicans want
to. I saw in my note, I have a rep written in my notes. Like, that's Representative Zwanitzer, thank you for being with us here today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
But we're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
Well, I mean, we are, but
we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
You want to take a break?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We are going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're
going to
do our gayest and straightest. But first, Representative Daniel Zwanitzer, where can people find out more about you, what you're up to? Tell us all the things.
Oh, sure. All the things. My website is votezwanitzer.com, VOTEZWONITZER.com. And we don't have a lot of social media out in Wyoming. So I just have a standard Facebook page, no Instagram account or a really campaign website besides votezwanitzer.com.
And what's your TikTok handle?
I don't have TikTok either. My teenagers can't tell me.
Neither do we.
Oh, good.
We don't. But other everyone's like, that's where everyone's going. And we're like, oh, God. I don't know. Anyway.
One of these days.
Maybe.
Well, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on most social media except TikTok at gayishpodcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, especially if it's a voicemail from Ma Johnson to answer on Momsplaining. It's 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rate supply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109. Let's do our gayest and straightest.
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Okay, great.
My straightest is, it's Halloween weekend when we are recording this. So I know that already happened for everyone listening, but boy, I just did nothing. Like, we played D&D on Saturday of Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
And then I went home and there were all the drunk people, all the costumes, everyone out on Capitol Hill and not me. I was like, I'm going to go get some pizza and go home and hang out. So Halloween is gay Christmas that I did not participate in.
Yeah.
My gayest is I ran into the neighbor I fucked.
Okay, great.
And he like was like, hey, I live here. And I was like, oh, that's wild. And then he was like saying goodbye to someone else. And it was just this awkward moment of like, I don't know. I'm like, we just had sex and it's like awkward seeing him to be like, so that's my gayest moment.
Yeah. That feels very like you have a hookup and then you run into them at work the next day.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was like, it was just weird. He was saying goodbye to this guy and they were like, the guy was like, goodbye. Okay. And he's like, hey, Kyle. And I'm like, this guy's what? I don't know. I was just very uncomfortable. And I just turned around with my dog and I was like, okay, good to see you. Bye. And then left because I didn't want to be a part of it. I was like, this isn't about me. I don't know.
That's awesome. Well, the gayest thing about me this week, I had somebody over. I had a date. But the gayest thing was that we watched the entirety of a 1979 Diana Ross concert on YouTube.
That's my foreplay right there.
It is so super gay.
Yeah.
And it's weird because in our Diana Ross episode, we talk about how she was upset when she found out that I'm Coming Out was a gay song, but not because of how she felt about gay people, but because she thought it would ruin her career. Mm-hmm. It's very clear to me from that show that it like a year before that she's making gay jokes with her dancers. She's great and magical, and that was super great. The straightest thing about me this week last night I ordered and then destroyed an entire plate of nachos all by myself.
Ooh.
Just like, you know, gays don't eat, but I sure did. I demolished that thing.
And fuck you, keto.
Right, yeah.
Mike eats chips.
I do what I want this week.
Yeah.
Representative Zwanitzer, what's your gayest and straightest?
The gayest thing I did all this week, I actually went out in my bathrobe at 7 a.m. To let out our chickens and sang a Cher song to them. Yeah, singing Cher in my bathrobe to chickens and turkeys and ducks at 7:15 Saturday morning.
That's amazing.
Yeah, just like Jesse James, it's a Cher song. That's country western. Yeah,
yeah.
Straightest thing. My dog died yesterday, and we dug a 6-foot hole with pickaxes and shovels and buried a dog, and it felt very exhausting, but kind of very butch. So.
Yeah, butch manual labor is always a winner in the straightest category.
Yeah,
all right.
And sorry to hear about your dog.
Yeah, very sorry to hear about that. Well, Representative Daniels Wanitzer, thank you again for being here. We really appreciate it. I think we maybe were easier on you than I thought we were going to be.
Yeah, me too.
Let's do that again. Let's scrap it. Let's do it again.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you again.
Yeah. Also, thank you to our super gap bridgers, Christopher Moonteen.
Ooh.
New one. John Crowley, Stephen Porcio, Stosel, Harry Shaw, Josh Copeland, Jonathan Montanus, Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, James Barrow, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Just Jamie, Kevin Henderson, Donald Linsky, Don Bisbee, Dusty Zanza, E. Coleman, Chris Cacciatorians, and Jerome York. Thank you to all of our super gap bridgers. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. From the Chris Cacciatorians studios, this has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See ya.
See you next week.
Because they're elephants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeehaw.